We have Drew speaking last because he's the newest father and he hasn't made any mistakes yet, so he can tell us everything. My best preach on marriage is when Lori and I were engaged and I spoke to our pastors in the northwest section of Alberta and I preached on marriage. I knew everything. It was easy. And then I got married. Welcome, you guys. So to take no more time, I'm going to introduce Brad. Everybody know these guys? Yes. You can introduce yourself if you need to.
I'm Brad. I've been married to Leonard's daughter for 8 years now. this is super loud. So on the 8th of August, 2014, was the day that I found out I was going to be a father. 8 months later after that date, Nicole and I welcomed our first child into the world, Ben, and followed Silas and Evelyn. In parenting, there's been lots I've learned. In marriage, there's been lots I've learned. And without further ado, one of the things I learned is, the man is the dictator of the house. You are a dictator. You guys laugh, but I'm serious. What I've learned, especially with Nicole, she is a sensitive girl, is the way I talk to her, the way I treat her, the things I do for her, the things I don't do for her, the way I talk to my kids, the time I spend with them, that dictates the type of house I'm going to have. Whether I have a peaceful house, a divided house, a calm house, a fun house. The way I do that dictates that. And that's not always a fun thing, being the man of the house. And I feel like I take responsibility for when things are going well, it's maybe because of me. When they aren't going so good, it's also me who kind of takes responsibility for that. My second thing is time with kids. To my kids, the way I love them is spelt to them, time is spelt the way love is spelt to them is T-I-M-E. The amount of time I spend with them is, that's how I love them, plain and simple. So if I don't spend time with them, they're not feeling so loved. So when you work a 12-hour day and you step in the door, the thing that I look forward to the most coming home is, I'm gonna hear, Daddy! From three little kids, and they're going to come running to me, and they're going to give me a hug, and it's awesome. But then come the requests. Dad, can you read a book to me? Hey, Dad, can I show you what I did at school today? Hey, Dad, can I wrestle right now? And I'm like, I've worked 12 hours. I've been up since 4 this morning. There's two things I want to do, and one of those is eat and not have people yell at me. But as I've learned, sometimes you're just like, I'm going to come in that door. I'm going to get the best hugs. I'm going to have to lay my needs aside for a second. I'm just going to have to say, when my boy comes, he says, Daddy, can I wrestle? I'm going to get on my knees. We're going to wrestle for a few minutes. And it's not always a fun thing to do in the moment, but my kids enjoy it. And I usually do at the end of it. My second last point. Don't let school get in the way of your kids' education. Unfortunately, I work a week on, week off, and so when our oldest started going to school, I felt like I'm losing my boy. Like, I feel like I don't see him enough. He's growing up before me, and I'm not spending enough time with him. And something I've started doing is, 2 weeks ago, I said, I'm pulling him from school today. He's coming with me to the bush. We're going to go shoot some guns. We're going to chop some trees down. And you know what? He's going to remember that. Is fun for me to do, but it's great to spend time with him. And don't be afraid to pull your kids from school to spend time with them sometimes. And lastly, be imitators. Your kids are going to imitate you. And the good things and the bad things. I always wonder, sometimes my kids come to me and they say something to me and I'm like, where the heck did that come from? Who says that? Oh, he's just repeating his father. And we're called to imitate Christ. And something I find challenging is, I brought my axe in today. This is my favorite axe. I have this for a lot of years. This axe used to be super sharp. You used to be able to go like this, and it'd probably cut you. But it's been well used. It's gotten pretty dull. It's a little bit rusty. And one thing I've noticed is sometimes we get dull spiritually. You don't take time to sharpen up. You don't take time to spend time in the Word. You don't take time to pray with your wife. And when the giants of life come, you're not so sharp to get through those, and it's a little harder to get through them, like an axe chopping wood. It's not always easy. And so my biggest challenge, I feel like, being a dad is getting into the Word and praying, and the kids, they automatically pick up on that. I've learned the meaning of childlike faith from my kids for the times you're in the bush and, we got stuck once. And I was like, what am I going to do? I don't have cell service. How am I going to get my truck out of here? And I got Silas with me. He says, Dad, it's going to be okay. We're going to pray about it. I was like, what? That's the last thing I would do. But it's amazing when your kids step out and do that. And that, that gives me great joy as a father. I think that's about all I have to say. Who's second? I'm done. Yes.
Brad, you can move over. You don't need to enjoy the view. Yeah. So I never know how close to hold a mic, so somebody tell me if I'm not holding it close enough or too close. I was thinking about what I was going to talk about today, and I decided to go a little bit of a different direction. Last time I had an opportunity to speak to you guys, I kind of said some of this, so I'm a one-trick pony, but I grew up in the church. So I grew up in the church since really young, and that includes being a Sunday school teacher, doing youth group, leading youth group. Like, you name it, I was part of it. I took some classes. I involved myself in classes. I did everything I could. And I grew up thinking until my late 20s that there were girl songs during worship and guy songs. So as a grown man, thinking until he was 27, there was girl songs and guy songs. And that's a huge blind spot. And I'm not a dumb guy most of the time. Like, I'm not. But I genuinely believe that. That was a little bit of a concern when you look back on it. But if you can think of a blind spot, it's not that you know what's going on. It's not that you're intentionally being ignorant. It's just something you don't know about. So fast forward a bit, and I was in church one day, and it was one of the girl songs. So I was sitting there waiting for the girl song to be over so that I could participate in the guy songs. And for context, the girl songs were the ones that were, I love, he's so, like, this communication, this relationship with God. And then the guy songs were the, like, he's fierce, he's tough, he's a warrior. He's all these really things that you personify as, like, a dude. And in the middle of that song, God says, call me daddy. And I just couldn't. Like, I couldn't do it. I didn't know what to say. I couldn't express it. It was the most vulnerable of words that I could think of. So that was kind of weird because it was another blind spot. And I thought, what is going on? Why can't I do this? What is this? And a little bit of my story is that, I read Wild at Heart. John Eldridge wrote a book, and it's a good book for some people. Some people may not love it, I don't know. But it led me to understand part of my history and why maybe this meant something to me. So for me, I came to Canada, I immigrated pretty young, and I didn't really know my father at that time. So came to Canada, didn't have a dad. Eventually I had a stepdad who I was very grateful for, but in those key years didn't really have somebody. So with that context, it starts to, you kind of understand the blind spot. But again, I knew that I didn't have that relationship with the Father, and that was still a blind spot for me. If you can imagine what that's like, you don't know what you don't know. You don't have those blind spots intentionally. And it's really interesting, because from there I realized, something's up. I should go get some healing for this. And somebody told me about healing prayer. And I thought, yeah, that sounds like a good place to start. Like, if God's going to figure this out for me, I'd rather start there than, man. So I went, and if anybody's done healing prayer, it's an amazing It is an amazing thing. What ended up happening, or my process, was to go through, went to this couple that were pastors. They prayed for me, and they kind of exposed that I'd grown up trying to protect myself. I grew up trying to do what you'd want a dad to do. And this isn't super complicated. It's kind of obvious when you look back on it. But in the moment, you're like, holy crow, this is so smart. Who thought of this stuff? And God's like, I did. You grow up protecting yourself. You create these structures around yourself, and you have to repent of that. It sounds strange because you just don't know any different. You're just doing what you think you need to do to get by, but you repent of that. And you put God in that place to protect you. And I broke down, like ugly cried, snot bubble, lots of that. And I left that. And of everything, the thing that stood out the most was, and this is probably when I'm like 20, 30. Actually, I might have been 30 at this time. So again, I'm a grown man. And I'm just figuring this out. So I get in the car after this healing ministry. And as close as anything I can think of that's a light switch in life, it was a light switch. A song played, and it was just, you know, Shine FM's on the radio as I'm driving home, and it's one of the girl songs. And I get it. Like, I actually, for the first time, got it. It was amazing how all of a sudden God was my protector, and that meant he is my father, and it meant he loved me, and all of a sudden I understood these girl songs. They weren't girl songs anymore. And it's weird because, like, I grew up trying to understand this, and I just want to contrast this stuff. I had a head knowledge of God my whole life growing up. I had a head knowledge, and I never had that heart knowledge until I understood him as a father. So, like, I grew up reading the Bible thinking, okay, I prayed as a kid for the wisdom of Solomon. I'd look at Daniel. I'm like, I want to be highly esteemed like Daniel was. And I prayed thinking, God, I want to be a friend of you like Moses, and all these things. And yeah, the irony is you're all that things through Jesus. But at the time, you just don't know. And then you get a heart knowledge, and all of a sudden it becomes something totally different. Whereas before I'm trying to understand God, then you can actually feel like, yeah, God's real. He's my dad. I get that. There's a study that Hallmark did. It wasn't a study. It's just something they did. They put out a bunch of cards to inmates, and they said, for Mother's Day, why don't you guys put out these cards to your moms? They gave them, like, almost all, I think it was 99 to 100% of the inmates took the cards and gave them to their mothers, and it was such a beautiful thing. And Hallmark thought, that's such a cool thing. Let's do the same thing for dads. It was like none or one. Like, it was almost nothing of the inmates that took the same things for the dads. And I think that's telling, because the role of a dad is pretty important. We don't have to do a whole lot, but we have to show up. And we have to affirm kids, and that's something that I learned the hard way. But on the other side of it, I see it with my children now, even my daughter, like two, not even. I see how affirming her is important. And if you imagine going through your life, how important that is as a father, our role to affirm our kids. Because if they're getting that from the world, like a girl getting that from what she perceives to be a guy, and maybe not a good guy, you know, if they're not getting that from us and us leading that to God, that's a big deal. And that is the key role, I believe, of a father, based off of things I've read, which I don't know. So I guess I'm just telling all this stuff because maybe people have a blind spot. Maybe you have something, doesn't have to be that you didn't have a dad. It could just be a little thing. It can really be, I've seen people with little things that turns into a blind spot, and it gets at you, and it changes the motivations of why you do things, maybe. Not willingly. It's not like you know what's going on. It's a blind spot. Because, I guess at the end of the day, our relationships with our dads just so impact our relationships with God. Yeah. And that's all. Thanks.
Joke's on Ryan. He's going to get the view no matter where he sits. But, sorry, I had to do it. So for those of you that don't know me, my name's Country. I'm a deacon here. I have four kids, a teenage daughter, and three under three. So my life is busy. If I don't make any sense, you know why. But, yeah, I was pretty excited when Leonard asked me to speak today. I'm going to take a little bit of a different approach as well. Leonard gave me the topic of manhood and what it means to be a man of God. So this is kind of a message for everybody, and if you're doing this, you'll be a good father. So, yeah, I was extra thrilled when Leonard asked me because I've been working on this beard for Manference, and I'm pretty sure that's why he asked me to speak, but he won't admit it. So let's go. You know, growing up, I had a little bit of a tough upbringing, and, you know, to be a man was a little bit different than what I think it is now as I continue my journey with God. Back then, it was more about tough love, be a man, suck it up. There was no real emotions, just you got to be tough for what you're going to have to handle in this world. And that's not completely wrong. It's not completely bad, but it was missing something big. True manhood now, in my opinion, and it should be your opinion, is to be a man of God, biblical manhood. And to prepare for today, I had two people in the Bible come to mind, and they're quite opposite of each other, but you'll see where I'm going. The first one I relate to really well. The first one is Adam. So right early in the Bible, I don't have time to do a whole preach. I only get 10-minute intervals. So right from the beginning, there's Adam, and he's created in God's image. And, you know, he goes with Eve, and they get in a little bit of trouble, and the pressure comes down on Adam. And then right in Genesis 3 already, that's not very far into your Bible, God's going, Adam, where are you? That's me. It's so easy to fall. You know, Adam had it good. He was walking every day with God. He was doing what he's supposed to do. He was spending time with God. He walked with God. So his relationship was good. But then the human side came in, and he started to slip. And God had to say, Adam, where are you? Take responsibility. Be a man. Where are you? And, yeah, it's so easy for me to relate to that with my day-to-day life. Like they said, it's hard to stay focused and do what's right, but we're created in God's image, so that's what we're supposed to do, right? So right from the beginning, I don't think it's a coincidence that in Genesis 1:27, it says that we are created in God's image. So that's what man and woman's identity is supposed to come from. We're supposed to identify and find our identity in Christ. Nothing else, not of the world, not in of our spouse, we're not eating things we're not supposed to eat, all that stuff. So now I'm going to talk about biblical manhood. And when I think about biblical manhood, I come up with some responsibilities, and I came up with four. So the first one would be to fight to protect your family. Everybody knows how important that is. It's to be the head of their family, like Brad says. The pressure is on us. We're required to do this. The third one is to provide for our families, whatever that means. Whatever it takes, we got to provide for our family. And the fourth one, which is humility, is to completely lay down our lives, like Brad said. It's not about us. And when I think about biblical manhood, I think it's pretty clear that the best version of this can only be found in Jesus. So Jesus was self-giving, self-sacrifice, complete humility, all summed up into one word, which was love. To be a biblical man is to recognize that it's not about you, like I said. It's about using your life to point to Jesus. Everything you do must glorify God, and if you're doing that as a father, as a man, everything else will come into play. Jeremiah 1:5 states, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart." This message is for all of us. We were all designed in a divine way to glorify God and to expand his kingdom. So it's a heavy task, and it does take strength and courage, and it takes a lot of endurance. But we know, if you read your Bible, that God gives us all those things, that he's our supply, he's our power supply, he's what we plug into, and all that comes smooth. So I'm not going to go too much further than to say I came across 6 different qualities that we can have to be a better biblical man. The first one, a biblical man will follow after righteousness. So if you wonder what that means, that's doing everything in our power to get our lives straight with God and people. The second one is we follow after godliness. So we got to devote our lives completely, everything we do, in conforming to God's laws and to His wishes. The third one is to follow after faithfulness. Faithfulness is truthfulness, okay? So this is knowing that God is the one true God and that His knowledge and words are truth, and that's supposed to be our final standard. So what we read in our Bible, what we know about God, that's the final standard for our whole lives. The fourth one is we follow after love. What did I say love was? Jesus. Can you guys say Jesus? Jesus. There you go. So if we're eternally giving ourselves for others, if we're giving ourselves to bless others, and we're trying everything we can to bring good to others, that's love. Self-sacrifice. He was the ultimate sacrifice, but we're supposed to live in His image, so we got to also give ourselves. The fifth one is follow after steadfastness. This means to be firm in your beliefs, to be loyal, faithful, and subject to no change. So we know the truth. So we're going to live by the truth. We're going to be a man. And the last one is a biblical man follows after gentleness. This is a tough one. I know most men aren't expressing the most meekness in most times. But this means to be humble, to be slow to anger, to be thankful for everything God's given you, and to submit completely to Him. So if you guys do those 6 things, those 6 qualities, if that's you, you're on your way. You're going to be like Jesus. You're going to be a good man. You're going to be a good father. You're going to be a good dad, whatever you want to call it. Even if you're just a spiritual father, if you're here, if you're an uncle, it doesn't matter. This is for all of us. And that's the biblical definition of manhood. It's Jesus. So if you ever want to know what you need to strive for, Jesus. Thank you.
Hello there. The word that I felt like I was supposed to share is for dads, but it is also for moms, and it's for aunties and uncles and sisters and brothers as well. And my life has moved a little bit too fast for my liking in the past year. It's accelerated rather quickly for me. I graduated and then moved out of my parents' house, got married, got pregnant, had a baby, all in the space of like 9 months. So it's been overwhelming at times. And in the midst of that, I often find myself wondering, like, what business do I have being a dad? What business do I have being a husband? I know that I come out of weakness and brokenness. And what God has constantly reminded me is that He is faithful, even in the face of my weakness. And one thing I would say, if you're a dad, it's okay to come out of weakness. And you don't have to have it all together, and you don't have to be perfect all the time. And it's okay for your family to see you in your weakness, see you as you are. And the big thing that I want to encourage you guys with is that God wants to redeem our families, and that He would use dads to redeem families. And if we're willing to walk with God and love Him and obey Him and seek after Him, He will redeem and transform not only your life, rescue you, save you, He would rescue and transform your family's life too, and your kids. And that blessing of the gospel coming into our homes through dads, through moms, through sisters, through brothers, whatever it is, that's something that will then travel down through generations to kids and grandkids. And it's through Jesus being made real in the lives of parents and grandparents. And that's an amazing thing that we have this opportunity to say, I want to see the blessing of God come into my family. And there's one lesson that I learned from my dad that I want to talk about. And there's one lesson that I've learned in the week of being a dad that I want to talk about. And I think it's the only thing I've learned. So I got one thing down. So that's all there is, right? Like just so you want to see the transformation and the blessing of God come into your home. And the lesson I learned from my dad is that when we entrust ourselves to God, His blessing will come into our lives. And I know that we need dads who are committed to Christ, committed to the Word of God. I know we need that because I needed that. And because I experienced so much blessing because of my dad and my mom and their obedience to God. And what I would just remind you of is that your example in your home makes a huge difference. I grew up in a home where I learned quickly that trusting God and following Jesus is more important than anything. I grew up in a home where my parents read their Bible and prayed with me, where my parents weren't too proud to admit they'd made a mistake, which allowed me to then learn that I can admit when I've made a mistake and when I've fallen short. And when you entrust yourself to God, you allow the blessing and the life of God to come into your life, your home, and it impacts how you love your kids, I assume. It impacts how you love your kids, how you love your wife. And I'm reminded of Paul's word in Ephesians 5 when Paul says, husbands, give yourselves up for your wives just as Christ gave himself up for the church. And that word there is very strong when he says, give yourself up. It's the same word that you'd use for a husband who is willing to go into a fire to be consumed by fire for the sake of his wife. It's a self-sacrifice. It's a giving up of yourself. And So the first lesson I learned from my dad is that when you entrust yourself to God, blessing will come into your home. And we need that. And our kids need that. And our grandkids are going to need it. The second lesson I learned this week when I was in our home while my wife was giving birth to our baby girl. And I just remember being there and thinking, like, what on earth am I supposed to do here? Like, what use does a husband have while his wife is giving birth other than to rubber back, you know. And I remember feeling so helpless while Beth is pushing and doing this amazing, amazing thing of bringing a baby into the world. And I just remember thinking, man, I just remember being scared. Like, what control do I have? What can I possibly do in this circumstance if something goes wrong, if my baby's not healthy, if my wife is in trouble? I can do nothing. And I got scared, and I'm sitting in my home, and I'm thinking, like, what do I do? Like, I don't know. I have nothing here except I'm at the mercy of God. And I remember God whispering to me while I was praying in tongues in my living room and trying not to lose my mind. And I remember God speaking to me, and he said, like, what can you do but rest in the fact that I'm in control? Because he is in control. And so the second lesson that I would share with you today, and the lesson that I've learned, is that we need to be men, fathers, mothers, who entrust our family to God. Recognize that I can't be in control of everything, and that God is faithful to look after our families, and that we can rest in confidence. We don't have to stress and be anxious for anything, but we can know that he's in control. And so learning to entrust your families when it's hard and when it's scary and when you don't actually know, I think it's the second lesson I would want to share with you guys. So, yeah, God wants fathers in this room to see the transformation of the gospel come into their homes and the blessing of the gospel come into the lives of kids and grandkids, so that the life of God can go from generation to generation in our homes and in our families. And it's not something you can know until you've lived it and experienced it. And so I would encourage you to live it and see it happen in your lives. If you're not there yet, that's okay, but shoot for it. Let God know. Say, I need your help, Lord. I want that kind of life that Drew's talking about. And he will answer your prayer, I promise you. And yeah.
Amen. There's so much we can say, but thank you. I think of Brad talking about imitating God and our kids imitating us, and Ryan, just the message that comes to my heart is the father heart of God, learning that. And some of us who grew up with fathers in different settings, we learned what God's love is from our Father in heaven. And country, bless you. Just, I wrote down a couple, but the man of God being gentle. I always said one Sunday I'm going to call for it, but the fathers, the men who have spoken harsh words to their wife, need to repent and come and stand here with me, and maybe that'll be part of today, I don't know, but God help us. And then Drew just gives us hope. Trust God with our families, with our lives. The best thing we can do for our families is to surrender our lives to God. You want your children free, you must be free. And so this morning, I'd like us to pray. I'm going to ask the musicians to come. But I'm going to ask if all the fathers who are here would just come and join me up here. And I trust that what was shared this morning, some of it spoke to you. There's an area of your life, my life, that God wants to grow and mature and make us to be the men and the fathers that he wants us to be. And so if you know, you say, well, I don't have physical children here today, I'm inviting all the men in this church to come. Spiritual fathers, uncles, cousins, brothers. And we want to pray and ask God to. There's so much we can say about husbands and men in the church. Just squeeze in, pile in, however it fits is good. I love it. Good, good men. One thing I'm very thankful for in this church is the men that God has given us. Amen? Come, young men. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. There is a name for men without beards. You know what it is, right? Women. So it's good to see some real men here today. My prayer is that from all the words we heard today, it's very easy to go away and talk and know our weaknesses, to know our challenges. But my prayer is today that every one of us who stand here today, every one of us, would take courage from our fellow brothers and sisters, our wives, our families, but especially from God Himself. I just hear the words over and over, and especially when these guys were speaking, just God's favor and God's blessing on us as fathers, as men, who are so important and so needed and so life-saving. Children don't ask to be born into our families. God puts them there. But then He gives us the job to love them and to raise them and to discipline them and to lead them and to love their mother and all the things we heard today and all the things we know in our heart. And so my prayer is, God, help us. Help us. Be men. Some people don't even like when you say that anymore. What does that mean? Be a man. The Bible's full of verses that say that. Be men. Act like men. Act like men. Men of God. Love, gentle, goodness, kindness, the best of men. Fathers who protect and who fight for and stand up for what's right in the country and in the church and in the family. Be men. Be men. The call has gone out today for us to do that. If I could sing it, Nicole, I'd sing it. I say the name of Jesus over you and over your families, over your children and your children's children. And I pray that. So I'm going to pray as one of you, but I'm going to pray asking God to bless you. Is that okay? Would you bow your heads with me, fathers and mothers and husbands and wives and friends? Just reach out your hand if you want. Father, I pray this morning, God, that you would bless these men, bless us men. Our words and our attitudes and our hearts would be godly, would be as you speaking to our families. Forgive us for our times we fail, and give us courage and strength. Put courage and strength into these men and into us today. I pray that you would put metal into our spines to stand straight and to stand true and honorable before our wives and before our children and before you, Father. Give us courage and give us your power today to be what you want us to be, to be the men of God, to be the heads of households, to lead your church, to lead your family, to lead the country, I pray, together with the most amazing godly women that you raised up already. I pray, God, that we would stand shoulder to shoulder. We would stand true with one another. I pray for relationships among these men in this church, that they would grow and that we could challenge one another, and that iron would sharpen iron, and that the young boys that are in the Sunday school class right now would have examples of godly men who will take them out of school, who will love them, who will put their hands on them, who will kiss their heads at night, who will pray for them, who will bless them. I pray that for every one of us today. And may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and give you peace. And may He bless you and your children and your children's children. I ask that this morning, Father. I ask that for this church, and I ask that for these men standing here today. And I thank you for them today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you. I pray we will take some of these words that were shared today from our brothers, from our fellow men, hide them in our heart. If you've spoken harshly to your wife today, Say you're sorry. If you've neglected... Repentance is good. I don't know what's happening behind me, so I can't... This guy's already crying. He's a crybaby. That's good. I believe God is speaking. Nicole, your team got a song for us? Sing over these men. Sing prophetic. Make something up. I don't care. Let's worship a bit, and then I'm going to give it back to Russell. But just stay here for a moment.
Just thinking about men today, I thought, you know what? What the world needs more of is dangerous men. They don't need sweet and syrupy. They need dangerous men that are willing to fight for their families. And by dangerous, I mean dangerous to outside influences that aren't positive, that aren't good for your family. Things that are attacking your family, you actually offensively attack and take ground against those things. I know there's men in this church that were dangerous over COVID. They did things that looked dangerous. They got on airplanes with their families to visit families. That was dangerous, but that was inspiring. There are men in this church that have done dangerous acts that have protected their families, that have stood against evil, that have said, no, I do not agree with that. I agree with God's word for my family. And so I want to encourage you, don't sink down to the lowest common denominator of pleasing everybody, being nice to everybody. Be dangerous and protect your families, protect yourselves against pornography, protect yourselves against things that will bring danger into your family if you don't stand up and fight against those dangers. Be dangerous to the devil. Make him scared of you. When you get on your knees, you are dangerous to the devil. When you lay hands on your kids at night before they sleep, you're dangerous to the devil. So I just encourage you, be men that aren't afraid to take risks and be dangerous.
Jesus, thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For years, God has put a burden on my heart to pray for you guys, maybe not by name. I believe that the man, the husband, the father is the most important influence in the life of the family, not the mother, sorry mothers, but it's you guys, because as I think it was as Ryan spoke about the Hallmark thing, that says an awful lot. You are important. And what you have been called to is not a burden. It's not like we're saying you have a burden placed on you as a father. It's arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. It's not a burden. It's calling you out. It's calling out of you who you are, who you were created to be. Romans says that he brings the dead to life and calls that which is not as though it was. He's speaking over you who you are. He's calling out of you, you today, fatherhood, husbandhood, manhood, who you were created to be, not a burden, but the truth of who you are. And I just say yes in light of that, not as the burden, but as the freedom to walk in who you were created to be. Arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord rises upon you.
Pastor asked me to praise, so. I just want to honor my husband first. He's like the best dad to my kids. And the thing that God just put on my heart while I was sitting there in the last 10 seconds was you all have the power. God has given you all the power to heal. And the strength, and it's an honor that he has bestowed upon you, and you can change generations. And I have a husband who has been able to be a strength and a shield, and has been able to carry and cover me when I've had to deal with my own dad issues and to heal and to protect and to change while he was being a father and while he didn't really even have a father. And it's the power and the honor that he's put on you. So don't take it lightly, men of God. You have the strength and the power to heal and to protect. And I just honor you all today. I'm done.
Amen. 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 We have a lot of power to heal, to bring life, bring joy into homes, workplace. Amen. Bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You may be seated.